Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me in the back? Mary?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Good. Thank you for coming out this morning. It's a wonderful time to look into the Lord's Word. And we always get, you know, each one of us gets something special. It's not like that we all get the same thing. But the Lord speaks to us through His Word and to individuals as well. It's not like, you know, just the masses and that. So the Lord bless us as we look into His Word. Let's ask Him for His help as we do this. So, our loving Father, we want to thank You again for Your Word. Lord, we know that it only speaks of Your beloved Son and how we love and adore Him. And we want to sit at His feet and learn more and more of our Father in Heaven and our Savior, who came into this world, and not only was He the Son of God, but He's the God, He also is the Son of Man as well. And Lord, we thank You again that He's our brother, and we love Him dearly, and we love to learn from Him about our loving Father in Heaven. So Lord, thank You again for this time to look into Your Word. We pray for Your help, that the Spirit of God would teach each and every heart. Lord, You know the needs of each one. And Lord, we pray that You would help us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today I'd like to consider with you Luke chapter 15, if we could turn to that. Luke chapter 15. Today I want to title this as Lost and Found. Now, you know, the Lord Jesus, He came into this world and He didn't live a life of 80 years or 90 years or 100 years. He was only here for a very short time, about 33 years. And during that period of time, He made the best use of that time that He had. And even though He was a carpenter, He didn't come to teach us how to make a table. And even though He was the Son of God, He didn't teach us how to make water into wine. But He said He only spoke of the things that He heard from His Father. And that's what He wanted to convey to us. Okay? And that's what all His writings, all His teachings are concerning that matter as well. So, even though He came as a human being because He associated Himself as human beings, He felt all the different things that we feel. And so when He tells a story, a parable, He relates it into human feelings in that. He takes that into consideration, what we are as human beings, as we're growing up, and the life that we've lived. So we can relate to the things that He's talking about. We can understand them a lot, much, much better. Now, in this parable, in chapter 15, there are things that are lost. And you know something? Jesus talks to us in two different ways. In our human life, as human beings, you know, the things that we see and experience and so forth. And also, more importantly, spiritual meanings of this thing that He's teaching us through the experiences of our physical lives. So the Lord Jesus has two meanings in mind. The things that are lost is most valuable to the person who owns those things. You know for yourselves, right? The things that you own are most valuable to you, and maybe not to me. And your children, your grandchildren, they're more valuable to you than they are to other people in the world. And that's just the way our human nature is. We find things that belong to us more valuable than other people. You know the old saying in our culture, it says, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Okay? We treasure things that other people find them to be junk, trash. And we all place different values on things. What may be valuable to you might not be valuable to me. And you know the Salvation Army, the secondhand stores, they're full of stuff there that people didn't need, and they threw them to the stores in there. But other people come and buy them because they need them and they treasure them because they don't have them and they want them. I know I have an old car that I bought when we shortly got married, and I became very attached to that car, and it had sentimental value and an intrinsic value as well as time went on. But to my wife, it's she's not interested in cars. She thinks it's junk, and she says, get rid of it. It's taking occupying room in the garage. So I've been holding off and holding off because, you know, I've got lots of fond memories with that car as we were growing together in the Lord, newly married in that and starting a new family. It just brings back a lot of memories to me. So I keep holding on to that old car. It's got sentimental value. So there's two types of losses. There's a permanent loss, okay, and there's a temporary loss. And a permanent loss, you know, in our world, in our lives and that, say if your house burns down to ashes, okay, it burns right down to ashes, it's gone. It's permanently gone. You won't see it again. You can't replace that same house the way it was, okay? You won't. And also, in the Lord's words, when something is permanently lost, it can't be regained again as well. If a sinner is lost to God, he dies in his sins, he can't be back with God again. He's lost forever. And that's it, into eternity. There is no time. And the temporary, sometimes we misplace things. And we know they're there somewhere. They don't have legs that they can walk around and disappear somewhere. They're there somewhere. It's just that we can't find them. We misplace them. And if we look hard enough, we will find them. And many times we've had to ask the Lord's help to find these things. Because his eyes are everywhere, he knows exactly where they are. And he can lead us straight to where that thing that we misplaced. And in the spiritual sense, while we live, while we're still alive, we are temporarily in our sins and we are lost to God. Those people that haven't put their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, they are temporarily lost to God. But the moment they enter into eternity, that means when they die and they're without Christ, they are lost to God forever. There's no temporary about that. Okay? But yet, while there's a breath in a person's life, there is still hope that that person will join and to be with their Maker, God, and who loves them and has a place prepared for them. So there's the two things there. And as I was saying, the people that find the most value in things are the people that own those things. And I won't have you turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, but you remember when young King Solomon just got coronation into being a king. He was very young, and he prayed to the Lord. He said, I don't know how to rule your people. I'm very young. I don't have any experience. I don't have any wisdom. But the Lord said to him, ask what you will, and I'll give it. And he said, well, give me wisdom, because I want to rule your people in your ways. And so the Lord gave him wisdom. And there's that story that the first judgment that he had to make was with these two women. And these two women had babies. Both of them at the same time they had babies. And they were in the nursery. And one mother, one of the women, she rolled over during the night time and she smothered her baby. The baby died. The other baby didn't die. The mother didn't turn over and smother the baby. But the mother that smothered the baby, she woke up in the morning and she found her baby dead. So what she did was, she took her baby and she exchanged it for the other baby that was alive, and she put the live baby into her own bed. And when the other mother woke up in the morning, she saw the baby dead, and she knew that that wasn't her baby. She knew her baby. She knew that that wasn't her baby. But this is what the other woman did. And so he had to make a judgment for that. And he says, well, we'll do this. We'll take the live baby and we'll divide it in half. And you can have half and she can have half. And the real mother who really loved the baby, because the baby belonged to the mother, to that mother, she said, no, give the baby to the other mother, right? And the other mother was saying, yeah, divide the baby in half and give half to her and give half to me. Because she didn't care for that baby. It wasn't her baby. See? The things that are persons, they find those things more treasure to them than anything else. And that's where we come to the story of our Lord. The things that belong to him. You see, the Word of God tells that all things were created by him and for him. And he loves all those things that he created. Otherwise, he won't create those things. He didn't create things that he doesn't love. But he created all those things that he loves. And they were created for himself. We were created for him, that we would bring glory to him, that we would love him, we would have fellowship with him, we would walk with him and talk with him. And all the things that friends do, because he's a friend and he's a brother and he's our God who can do most impossible things that we cannot do, that we can't even dream to do, he can do. And we can go to him for that. Now, because he created all these things, he cares for all these things because they belong to him. Now, you know that in the Holocaust, there were 6 million Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust. Who cares? Anybody care here in the world about those 6 million Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust? Nobody cares. That was in the history. That was in the past. And some people still deny it. They said, no, it didn't take place. That was a Jewish hoax, a joke that Jewish people want the world to believe. But that wasn't the case. The truth of the matter was there were 6 million Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust. And there's one that cares. There are countless babies that are being murdered, have been murdered, and are being murdered today. In abortion. And people have no conscience. They don't find any value in those babies. They don't even think twice about aborting those babies. That they're made in the image of God. And God loves those babies. They don't care. They only care about their selfish desires. That they don't want to have the burden of the child. And you know something? Millions and millions of people have been killed in wars. Do you think somebody cares? Who they were? What they were fighting for? And nobody cares. The only people that care are those people that they were closely knitted to them, closely related to them. Maybe your grandfather died in the world wars. Maybe your brother or your sister or your cousins died in the wars. Maybe a family member died in your wars. And you care. And God who created them, he deeply cares. He cares more than anybody else can ever care because he created them for himself. And in Colossians 1 and 16, it says, all things were created by God through Jesus, his son, and for himself. And that's the reason that we are created, to give glory to him, to love him, and to serve him. And in this chapter here of Luke chapter 15, it comes in the backdrop of, it says in the first verse, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. You know, 400 years had gone by, and God had not spoken to his people because they had rejected him, and they had turned their back on him. But the Lord always keeps a remnant, always keeps a few that are loyal to him and love him and want to follow him. And there was that remnant even during the time when Jesus came into the world. And then he sent John the Baptist into the world to shed light into the world, because Israel was in deep, deep darkness, spiritual darkness. They forgot about their God and who he was and what kind of a God that he was. And so the Pharisees and the scribes had made up all kinds of rules and regulations from the Old Testament, from the Ten Commandments, to burden and enslave the people, which God did not intend to do. Jesus said, he says, I came to set you free. And that's what his intentions was, to set us free. And they said, well, we're not slaves. How can you set us free? He says, you're a servant of sin. You serve sin. You're a slave of sin. And I came to set you free from that. But these people didn't believe that they were servants of sin and slaves to sin. The Pharisees and the scribes had they built up empires and religious empires, and they had ruled over those people, those poor people that had to obey all kinds of things that they didn't really, that they shouldn't have to believe and do. They themselves, the scribes and the Pharisees, never obeyed that. They never did that, but they expected the people to do that, and they burdened them for that. These Pharisees and scribes didn't want to learn the teachings of Jesus or the teachings of John when he came preaching the gospel of repentance, that they had gotten far away from God. Prepare the way of the Lord, he was preaching. Repent of your sins and come back to God. And they didn't want to believe that, these people. You know, as I was saying, the things that belong to a person, they're more dear to their heart than to other people. To the Pharisees and to the scribes, these people, it says here in verse 2, it says, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Okay? All these people that were broken in spirit, broken in bodies, the lepers, the blind, the people that were sick spiritually, the people that were looking and searching, these people, the Pharisees and the scribes, found no value in these people. And you know, the Lord said in the Old Testament, he says, a bruised reed, that's a stick, a stick that's bruised and ready to fall and break. He says, I'll not break. He says, a smoking flax, I'll not snuff out. Okay? He did not come to call the righteous, but to sinners to repentance. Sinners to humble themselves before a holy God and say, I have broken your laws, and I'm sorry, I repent. And I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. He loved me, I belong to him, he created me, and he came back to redeem me, because I'm in a state of loss to God my Father, who loves me and wants to welcome me into his house in heaven. The first one there, verse 4, it says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does leave the 99 and 9 in the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Okay? This is a human example, okay? A shepherd, he takes care of the sheep. And each one of those sheep are a special sheep to him. You know, some might say, oh, well, one is lost, who cares? I've got 99 here still. And that's human thinking, okay? So what, 100,000 men died in the war? That's okay, we won the battle. They sacrificed their life, but we won the battle. That's what matters. Their lives don't matter, okay? No value in their lives. But a true shepherd, he knows each and every sheep. And he knows the nature of those sheep as well. And, you know, sheep are a very innocent and very sort of an ignorant kind of a an animal. It doesn't know anything. It's very innocent. And sometimes sheep, they start grazing and they start wandering away. They're seeing more green grass somewhere. They're gone over there and they're gone over there. And before you know it, they're lost. And they can't find their way back. They're not smart, they're animals. They can't find their way back to where the fold is, where all the other sheep are. They're lost. And many people are like that in the world. They're lost. And maybe they might have known some truth in their life, but they don't know how to get back to that. And Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. And it says here, it says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, it says, Jesus said he came for the lost house of Israel. He's the great shepherd. And the sheep do wander away, and his flock, the flock of Israel, had wandered away from the truth. And he wanted to bring them back. Many times people wander away in their faith, and in their trust, and in their belief. I know our sister Ting here, her husband was confessed to be a believer and he was baptized here. And we don't see him at the meetings anymore. We don't see him anymore because his faith has grown weak. And he thinks that every time he comes to church that something bad happens to him. He's lost his faith in Christ. It's gotten very weak. And these are the people that Jesus came to restore back to himself. They lost that, the truth, but what wonder and carried away by the world. Don't know how to come back, yet know they are lost. The sheep know they're lost, but they don't know how to get back to the shepherd and to the fold. And these people are lost in the world as well. But they don't know how to get back. And number two, he speaks about the coin. Okay? Now, a coin can't think for itself. It's just an inanimate thing, right? And there's a lost coin. The coin doesn't know how that it's lost. And some people, they don't know that they're lost. They think they're doing right, they're doing okay, they're good, and bad deeds are going to balance out, and everything's going to be good. I'm a good person. I don't do anything bad. They're lost. They don't know the glory of God, the standard that God set for mankind, that perfect standard they've fallen from. For all have sinned and fallen from the glory of God that He had created us. They don't know that. They're lost. And this coin is like that. The coin is lost. And people never heard the gospel before. They never heard about Jesus, and that's why we were singing. Everybody ought to know their maker, their creator. Everybody ought to know about Jesus and how precious he is to this world and how precious the world is to him, that he would come and confine himself in a body, a human body, and do the will of his Father, going all the way to the cross to die for sinners such as us. What did he see in us? You know, the angels are probably wondering. You know, these Pharisees and scribes probably wondering, why would Jesus die for these useless people that have got, you know, blindness and sickness and they're sinners and they're harlots and they're publicans, that he's ministering to them and he's associating himself with them. What does he see in these people? They're wondering, see? But like I said, he owns them, he created them, and he loves them. So the coin is in the spiritual sense lost people that never knew God, and they never had the intuition to try to find out who God really is and find out the truth. So the woman seeked diligently for those coins that were lost. The shepherd also seek diligently for the sheep that was lost. And this talks to us about the Savior. It, you know something, it's interesting. The Lord speaks in threes. Many, many times he speaks in threes. And our brother was speaking this morning about threes there. Sebastian, when he was speaking in the morning meeting, he was talking about Peter, how he denied the Lord Jesus three times. And then at the end there, Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And three times Peter had to say to the Lord that I love you. And here we have three examples, okay? And sometimes you start thinking, well, why is it that he presents us things in three different ways like that? Okay. Now, we've got three here as well. And the first is the shepherd looking for his lost sheep. Second is a lost coin and a woman looking for her lost coin. And in the third example is a wayward son, a rebellious son, the parable of the prodigal son. Okay, he wandered away from his father, even though he knew what was in his father's house. He experienced all that, he served and loved his father, and he wandered away, he wanted to take everything, and he went into the world. The first one, the shepherd. You know, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's three. And I noticed reading throughout the Bible from the beginning to the end, there's always the three. There's always the three that are involved in that. Now, the Good Shepherd, of course, is the Lord Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son, okay? He's looking and he's searching. His eyes are everywhere for lost sheep. In the world, everywhere, okay? And the woman here is seeking and looking for her coin. And this is the Holy Spirit convicting sinners of their sin and leading them to the shepherd who's looking for them, okay? And in the third parable of the prodigal son is the Father, okay? You have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit and the Father all working in unison to bring a sinner to their knees, to repent of their sins, and to receive the Savior while there's still time. And they're working together for that. And it says in each one of these parables, and it says in verse 5, it says, and when he had found it, he layeth upon his shoulder, rejoicing. You know, he's so happy that he found that sheep. God is so happy when he finds a sinner that repents and turns to the Lord Jesus for salvation. God is so happy. It's not just that he's just happy, you know, but he is so, so overwhelmed with joy and happiness. It says that he put him on his shoulder. He didn't beat that sheep, you know, because he made a mistake, he went, wandered off, and he's gone somewhere, and he has to go, and he's lost in the world, now he's all injured and everything else, and brutally treated by the world. No, he doesn't take a whip and whip that thing and tell it to go back to the herd where the rest of them are. He puts it on his shoulder, and he brings it back home again to the fold. That's the loving and kind Savior that we have. He gently succors us and brings us to himself that we might realize his heart, what kind of heart he has, how much he finds us to be so dear in his heart, that we are number one in his heart. You know, there's a story of this blind man. He was yelling out, you know, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd was saying, shut up, be quiet. And he shouted even louder. And Jesus stood in his tracks. He could hear. He could hear over all that noise that was being made by that crowd. He could hear the cries of that man Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he went to him. And it goes to each and every one that cries out to him in their need. Because that's why he came into this world. So you have the good shepherd is the son. And you have this woman who's looking for the coin. And she is looking for the coin and she finds it. And it also says there, and I say unto you, it says, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And she also got her friends together, it says. It says, and when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace that I had lost. It's almost, you know, like God isn't complete. You know, it seems like that, even though he is complete, but it seems like, you know, that he wants to bring all of his creation, to make it complete, he wants to bring all of his creation together in one. He doesn't want to leave anybody out. He wants it all to be in one. And she had all these pieces of silver, but there's one missing. And without that one, it wasn't complete. So God is looking to try to complete all that he wants complete. But one day it will be complete. That's the Holy Spirit searching the hearts of sinners, teaching them about the love of God through Christ and leading them to Christ. And then this young man, you know, we were all young people like that. I remember when I was a teenager, I was about 17 years old, just graduated from grade 12, and very rebellious. I wanted to do my own things, and I wanted to go and work and make my own money and buy my own car and so forth and have my own life. Just like this young prodigal son, he took all that he had that his father gave him, his inheritance, and he went away into the world to enjoy the lusts of the flesh, the enjoyment of life in the world. And after all that ran out, he found himself in need. And this young man realized that he had a loving father that was waiting every day for him. And he repented of the fact that he had sinned against his father and against God. And that was the turning point for him, when he was right at his wit's end, and he knew that he couldn't make it out there in the world. And he went back to his father. Now, I don't know where you are in life. I don't know all of you. I don't know if you're saved or if you're not saved. But you know something? Like I said, there's a permanent loss and there's a temporary loss. And right now you're still alive. And even though you haven't received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, while you're alive, there's still a chance to do that. Because after death, there's no going back. Like wise King Solomon said, where the tree falls, that's where it lies. It's not going to come back up again. Where you are is where you are. If you're inside Christ, the Father's arm is open to you. Like the prodigal son, his father's arms were open to him, welcoming him into his house, welcoming him into to be his son again, to reinstate him as his son. And he was outside of that in the world. Maybe you are outside in the world today. But the Spirit of God is pleading with your hearts even this morning to come in to the love of Christ. Because he cares and loves you more than anybody else could ever love you. Because he created you and he wants you for himself. He created you for himself. And he wants you to be with him in eternity. The other option is that you will be separated from him forever. The Lord says, today is the day of salvation. You know, many people say, well, I'll leave it till tomorrow. Or maybe next year I'm doing this and this and it's not really good and pleasing to God. But someday, maybe in a month or so, I'll turn to God. I'll change my ways and I'll turn to God. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know if we have another hour. We might be gone and that's it. You know, just because we're healthy doesn't mean we're going to make it through another day. And the other factor is the Lord Jesus said he's coming. And we could see the signs all, we're not blind. We can see the signs all around us. And we can see that the Lord's coming is imminent. It's very soon. Very soon. The way things are shaping up in the world, we can see the signs that he's coming very soon. So I pray that you will make up your mind, even today, if you haven't put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, because you know something? It doesn't matter how hard you try to please God. You can't please God. Only way you can please God is through receiving what God has given you, and that's his Son, as a sacrifice for your sins and my sins. And then God will receive you like this father received this prodigal son who had gone away, and he repented, and he was brought back into the commonwealth of the family. Shoes were put onto his feet. He was washed and taken away from all the filth of the swine that he was feeding, put on a robe of righteousness, a ring on his finger, and he was reinstated again as the son. And we look forward to that time where we will be presented unto the Father by the Lord Jesus. These are the people that I died for. This is my treasure that I'm bringing to heaven. One day, he's going to gather all that together and complete it one day. Will you be there? Is the question. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we want to thank you again. We want to bless you again, Lord, that you have given us time. And it's not that some of us could say that I ran out of time, that I didn't have time to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. We think of that thief that was on the cross with you, Lord. He didn't have all that much time. He was dying there. He was probably on his last few breaths. Yet he received you as his personal Savior. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. That's all it took, a repentant heart. And Lord, we pray for all those who are here this morning. Maybe there's some that haven't put their faith and trust in you. And Lord, maybe there's some that haven't tasted of your great love. We pray, Lord, that this will be the day. This will be the turning point in their lives. A new life would start. A new life would grow through the faith that they would put into Christ's finished work on the cross. And that they would learn more and more about thee as the Spirit of God would teach them. And so, Lord, we pray for each and every one that's here this morning. We know that you teach us in different ways. We've got different personalities and characteristics. And we pray that none will leave here empty-handed, Lord. We pray that each one will be blessed with something that they learned about you. And that's our goal in life, Lord. We want to know you more and more as the Spirit of God teaches us. Because we're going to be with you one day, Lord. And we want to know you even better. So we give thee thanks for this time and for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for such great love and care over us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.